Please be seated. Our next two cases on the docket have been allotted 50 minutes each. There's great public interest in these cases, and there are quite a few issues. Tell counsel that if you need all the time, fine, and if you don't, that's fine too. Clerk will call the next day.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, Justices of the Court. My name is Michael Quinnen. I'm with Christian and Barton here in Richmond. I'm here with my partner, Ford Stevens. We represent BASF Corporation. BASF was a respondent in the State Corporation Commission's proceedings on Dominion's application for a certificate to build its Surrey Skips Creek power line. And BASF Corporation is the appellant here today. In this case, I'm going to try to reserve 10 minutes or so of my time for rebuttal. All of BASF's assignments of error are limited to the impact on BASF's property of the route approved by the State Corporation Commission for Dominion Virginia Power's proposed 500 kV Surrey Skips Creek transmission line. BASF owns over 600 acres with about a mile of shoreline on the northeast side of the James River. Although the property was once a manufacturing site, BASF has invested tens of millions of dollars in environmental remediation to prepare the site for its highest and best use as a mixed-use resort development. Now, the Commission considered two routes with some slight variations across the BASF property. In both cases, the BASF property would serve as the landing site for the transmission line after it crosses the river. One route was the route preferred by Dominion and ultimately approved by the Commission, and that's referred to as Variation 1. Variation 1 would land in the middle of BASF's shoreline and proceed through the center of the property, bisecting the property and crossing through a particularly sensitive environmental remediation area that's known as Area 4C. The other route considered by the Commission is the one preferred by BASF. That would land at the northern end of the property's shoreline and proceed along its northern boundary, thereby preserving the property's development potential to a much greater extent and avoiding Area 4C and any other sensitive environmental areas. This route was originally referred to as Variation 3, but after adjustment of certain power locations in the river, not on the BASF property, it became Variation 4. That was the route that was originally approved by the Commission. Later, after an adjustment to avoid property owned by the James City County Economic Development Authority that we'll be talking about, an adjustment was suggested by Dominion in its petition for reconsideration after the Commission's initial order certificating the Variation 4 route. And that became known as Variation 4.1 with the adjustment to go around the EDA's property. Throughout the Commission's proceedings and in this appeal, BASF has had two principal objectives. One is to avoid having the line bisect the property, which would effectively destroy the property's development potential. And the second was to prevent damage to that sensitive environmental remediation area known as Area 4C. Now, as to the impact of the Variation 1 route on Area 4C, there's been a development in the course of Dominion's proceedings on its application to get a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, which application is still pending, that is not in the record. In this matter, but Dominion and BASF agree that the court should be informed of this development, and the State Corporation has told us they have no objection. So with the court's permission, I'm going to refer to a development that's occurred since the record's closed. The development is this. After the Commission's final order approving Variation 1, BASF asked Dominion to consider whether a slight adjustment could be made to Variation 1 in order to avoid Area 4C. BASF would still greatly prefer that the line be moved to the northern edge, but at least could a slight, could the line scooch around Area 4C just enough to avoid the worst environmental damage. This request was consistent with the Commission's direction in the amending order of February 28, one of the orders on appeal, that the Commission said, we encourage Dominion to use the authority in the certificates approved herein to consult with BASF in seeking to address, to the extent practicable, the impact of BASF's property in implementing Variation 1. So Dominion agreed to consider that. They surveyed the area. They advised that such an adjustment was possible and that they were, in fact, willing to make such an adjustment. This did not result in a settlement agreement or any kind of enforceable contract. BASF doesn't have any sort of foundation on which to force Dominion to adjust Variation 1 to avoid Area 4C. But nonetheless, Dominion has advised
the Corps. Even if you had reached an agreement on that, you still have to have the State Corporation Commission approve it.
The hope is, Your Honor, that, well, the hope is that in the course of this appeal, we'll see the line moved entirely. But if the line is going to be approved on Variation 1 by the Corps, and the Corps approves the line as it's now been submitted by Dominion to adjust, to just avoid Area 4C, the adjustment is slight, so slight that, one, it conforms to the directive in the amending order that Dominion and BASF should work together. Moreover, it could be submitted because it doesn't affect anyone's property other than BASF, the property owner, as a map adjustment to be approved administratively by the Commission. Then, of course, the staff of the Commission could make a determination that it exceeds the scope of the certificate or not. We don't think it would because it's such a slight adjustment, it doesn't affect anyone else. And it's possible that then that the Commission would have to reopen or reconsider, but we believe that this adjustment is within the normal parameters of, in approving any transmission line, the Commission doesn't make a very specific determination about where each tower is going to go. They approve generally a route. We think that this adjustment would be acceptable. It would require a map adjustment to be followed with the Commission because it would look a little different than the maps that were filed with the Commission. But
well, let's get right to it. What would be the effect on this pending case?
Well, the effect on this pending case would not be to moot the appeal because of a couple different things. One, the court proceeding is still pending, so it's not final. We're not sure what's going to be approved, and we don't know whether any map adjustment would be challenged at the Commission. BASF, in any event, has no basis to force this adjustment to be made should something happen and the line get moved back into Area 4C. Of course, the other reason the appeal is not mooted is that BASF is still asking the court to rule that Variation 1, even with this adjustment, does not satisfy the statute, Virginia Code 56-46-1, and that the Commission should have approved the more northern route, which ultimately became Variation 4.1.
And that remains your position today?
That remains our position.
All right, well then proceed on the merits.
Okay. Counsel, doesn't that, though, weaken your assignment of error 1B? The Commission, if it does that, will have found that the line is needed, and it will have taken an action that would reasonably minimize adverse impacts.
If it happens, and the thing is there's uncertainty as to whether it happens, if it happens, it would affect only BASF's assignments of errors 2A and B. Assignment of error 1A and 1B are the two assignments of error that assert that the Commission erred as a matter of law. Those assignments of error are unaffected. Assignments 2A and B are the two that allege that the Commission erred by approving a line that went through Area 4C and erred by finding that the mitigation offered by Dominion in Area 4C made the line acceptable under the statute. So those would be, if this is final mooted, then...
That answers my question. Thank you.
So,
well, in any event, you've got a case before us that we've had the parties are joined. On that particular question, the parties are not joined. So go ahead and... Because it's not, you don't know whether it's going to happen.
Right, that's exactly right.
So we appreciate you letting us know that, because I think you're right. You need to tell the court.
Yes.
But it doesn't affect, I think, in any way, the issues that we have to consider today. So you may proceed.
That's exactly right. And today I would like to focus on assignments of error 1A and 1B, which are the two assignments of error that assert that the Commission erred as a matter of law. Assignment of error 1A... asserts that the Commission erred as a matter of law by finding that Variation 1 satisfies the requirement of Virginia Code 56-46.1, that the route reasonably minimize adverse impacts on the scenic assets, historic districts, and the environment of the area, based on the fact that the route it initially approved, Variation 4, became unavailable. In other words, the error, the court's error of a matter of law, was deciding that Variation 1 satisfied the statute because Variation 4 became unavailable. The requirement found in subsection B of the statute requires, as a condition of approval of a power line of 138 kilovolts or more, that the Commission shall determine that the corridor or route the line is to follow will reasonably minimize adverse impacts. Now, this condition in 5641.1b is in addition to the requirement in subsection A of the same statute, which requires that whenever the Commission is required to approve construction of an electrical utility facility, it shall give consideration to the effect of the facility on the environment and establish such conditions as may be desirable or necessary to minimize adverse environmental impact. This appeal is based on subsection B, which is not only specifically refers to transmission line, but also specifically requires that the corridor or route reasonably minimize adverse impacts. The Commission only considered two routes across the BASF property in this case, Variation 1 that went through the middle and Variation 4 that went along the northern side. Dominion raised two objections to Variation 4, to the variation that BASF wanted. The first is that Variation 4 cross property owned by the James City County Economic Development Authority, which it could not condemn an easement of. And the second objection it had is that the river crossing, although not the land crossing, the river crossing for Variation 4 put towers closer to the historic property at Carter's Grove. During the evidentiary hearing, however, two developments addressed those concerns. One, the James City County Economic Development Authority made a commitment to provide the necessary easement for Variation 4. And two, it was determined that some of the towers located on the river could be moved farther away from Carter's Grove. Some of the towers closest to Carter's Grove could be moved farther away. That's the adjustment that turned Variation 3 into Variation 4. On BASF's property, those routes are identical. Based on the evidence submitted, the hearing examiner recommended Variation 4. He did so based on the impact that Variation 1 would have on the environmental remediation at 4C and on the negative impact of placing Variation 1 through the middle of the property. He did note the visual impacts of the crossing slightly favor Variation 1. But the hearing examiner said that more weight should be given to the remediation and development of the BASF property. That's why he chose Variation 4. The hearing examiner did recommend that if the EDA did not provide the promised right-of-way, then the Commission should approve Variation 1. But, and he's very specific about this in his report and recommendations, this is only because at that point, Variation 1 would become, quote, the only remaining option. Here, the hearing examiner made the same mistake that the Commission would make later in suggesting that a route can be approved simply because it's the only remaining option in evidence, even if it has not been determined that that is a route that actually reasonably minimizes adverse impacts. In the certificate order that followed, the Commission accepted the hearing
examiner. Don't you have to take that language in the context of all the hearings and the evidence? And I mean, I understand that one statement is made, but isn't that in the context of considering all these different routes that were on the map?
Well, there were only two routes on the map for the BASF property.
Right, 4 and 1.
And 4 and 1. And nowhere does the hearing examiner say that variation 1 reasonably minimizes adverse impacts on the environment. The commission, in the certificate order that followed, accepted the hearing examiner's recommendation to approve variation 4, but didn't even approve variation 1 as an alternative initially. This is the certificate order of November 26, 2013. It was only after that, when it became apparent that the county EDA might not actually come through on its commitment to provide the easement that would be required to build variation 4 as it was originally planned, that Dominion filed a petition for reconsideration, which was granted. At the time it filed that motion for reconsideration, Dominion asked, one, if the commission would implement that alternative that the hearing examiner had suggested, which is if there's no easement for variation 4, go to variation 1. Or it suggested that there was another way where you could use variation 4 but scoot around the EDA property. That became known as variation 4.1. Dominion offered that in its petition for reconsideration. At the evidentiary hearing that resulted, BASF suggested a slight adjustment to variation 4.1 that was called 4.2, but the evidence that made clear that that wasn't going to work. BASF made clear at that time that 4.1 would be an acceptable variation and much preferable to variation 1. 4.1 would be acceptable. It would still avoid Area 4C. It would still generally run to the north side and preserve as much of the property's development potential as possible. Dominion, however, by the time we got to the supplemental hearing, the Ori Tennis evidentiary hearing in January of last year, now is taking the position that variation 1 was the only remaining option because there was insufficient time to approve variation 4.1 or any other route because Dominion had applied to the Army Corps of Engineers for approval of variation 1, even though the hearing examiner had recommended variation 4, the State Corporation Commission had approved variation 4. Dominion had never amended its application for the Corps permit, in fact had renewed it, still asking for variation 1, and now was arguing to the Commission it's too late to consider anything else. Now, we challenge that, and that our argument on that is in the briefs, and I won't go into all the detail on the deadlines, but the hearing examiner, after that hearing, did find that the time available pursuant to the extensions that could be granted would be sufficient to approve variation 4.1, and the hearing examiner did recommend approval of variation 4.1. The commission, however, agreed with Dominion that it was too late to consider any alternative to variation 1 and approved now variation 1 instead of variation 4, resulting in our appeal of their order of February 28, 2014. Subsequently, BASF filed a petition for reconsideration, which was denied in the commission's order of April 10, 2014, and BASF has appealed that again, all for the same reasons, all for the reasons that are asserted in the assignments of error that are before you now. In its amending order, and again in its order of April 10, 2014, denying BASF's petition, the commission does say repeatedly that it's considered the evidence and that variation 1 meets the statutory standard, but those conclusions are not supported by the evidence or the commission's analysis in the case, and this isn't because there was a wealth of evidence before the commission that it could have used to determine that there was not a better route across the BASF property that would reasonably minimize impact. It's all the commission did was compare variation 4, which it found acceptable, and variation 1, which it first did not, and then when variation 4 became no longer acceptable, defaulted to variation 1. The only evidence in the record about adverse impacts of any routes across the BASF property is the evidence relating to variations 1 and 4.
You had wanted to save 10 minutes. You're
and
down
I'm
to 5:46. You may use your time any way you want.
Well, let me hit briefly on the second assignment of error that addresses matter of law, which is assignment of error 1B, which also relies on subsection B of 5646.1. That assignment of error alleges that the commission also erred when in the amending order and then later again in the order denying BASF's petition for reconsideration, it weighed the need for the line against determining a route that the route reasonably minimized impacts. The statute clearly requires both findings, not one or the other, and the court's error was in finding that the need for the line trumped its obligation under the statute to determine that the route to be used would actually reasonably minimize adverse impacts. And with that, I will, Your Honor, reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
May it please the court, my name is John Dudley. I'm with the State Corporation Commission, and I'm sharing time with Dominion.
Mr. Dudley, I kind of hate to do this, but I also want to get right to the point. Could you just tell us what evidence is in the record to support the Commission's position that Route 1 does reasonably minimize impacts?
Yeah, if I turn to it during Mr. Quinn's remarks, first, starting on page 29 of the Commission's brief, I'm afraid I would take up all my 5 minutes if I list all the joint appendix sites, but you start on page 29 of the Commission's brief, and it goes through page 32 at least. There are some of them are bulleted, some of them are in the text. Of the specific sites to the record that supports the Commission's finding that variation 1 reasonably minimizes adverse impacts. And just a few of those, Your Honor, since you asked about it, that the Commission relied on some facts was that there was evidence in the record that the remediation on BASF property has continued to evolve over the years, and that the remediation can continue even with Variation 1. There was also evidence that Variation 1 would avoid putting a tower on Area 4C, as we found out this morning. Area 4C is no longer an issue. But it was also important that Variation 1 is farther away from the historic resources upstream and from Carter's Grove. It was also important to the Commission that Variation 1 avoids going through the property owned by Colonial Penniman. And Mr. Quinn had mentioned that it was variation 4 and it was modified slightly to 4.1. And the Commission originally approved 4 but not 4.1. They're distinctly different, and I'm not saying it was on purpose, but they're distinctly different. And the variation 4 did not go through the Colonial Penniman property. There's a Trustwood property on it. The Colonial Penniman has active commercial operations on its property today. That original variation 4 that the Commission found reasonably minimized adverse impact sort of skirted around the Colonial Penniman property. It may have gotten a corner of it, but it avoided it. Whereas the 4.1 that came up on reconsideration, that the Commission found was important in analyzing 4.1, that actually goes through this other business's property, the Colonial Penniman property, with its active commercial operations today. Whereas Variation 1 did not. And Variation 1 is farther away from the Carter's Grove and historic resources, whereas Variation 4.1 is closer.
All right, Council, if you would answer this question, and I'll leave you alone for a minute. But on the, could you address the question, his point about the order saying this was the only other option and that's why that option was chosen.
Yeah, I respectfully suggest that that does not accurately represent what the commission's orders actually say. The commission did not say that. If we start at page 33 of our brief, we list the multiple times that the commission explicitly said we've independently analyzed variation one, separately and apart from all the other issues. We've independently analyzed variation one, and I'm just reading some of the quotes from the commission's orders. Variation one presents a reasonable path through an industrial area with limited impacts. Variation one reasonably minimizes adverse environmental impacts. Based on the record, the commission finds that certificated project using variation one would reasonably minimize. So that's the finding. The first set of pages from the brief were the facts supporting that finding. Now, all these, starting at page 33 of our brief, shows where the commission explicitly made the determination that variation one met the standard, separate apart from the fact that it found that 4.1 did not meet the need. In addition to the facts I mentioned, that the commission found that 4.1 went through this other piece of property and why that was a reason to reject it, the commission did find that variation 4.1 did not reasonably meet the need because it created an unreasonable risk that the project would not be completed in time. And but just because the commission found and rejected 4.1 because it wouldn't meet the need didn't mean it didn't do a separate evaluation of variation 1. And, Your Honor, one of the easiest ways I can explain it is if the case was remanded for the commission to make an independent separate evaluation of variation 1 and make the findings, the order would look exactly the same. It would say, here's the evidence we relied upon for variation 1 and here are the findings we made for variation 1. There'd be nothing different to do on remand. I'm going to I was going to start by sort of laying out kind of like Mr. Quinn did how we got to the BASF property. This was, as you can tell by the joint appendix, this was a very extensive proceeding where the commission considered all the evidence and all the alternatives and found that an overhead 500 kilovolt line needs to be built into Northampton Roads. If it's not, there'll be severe reliability violations, and those reliability violations could result in outages throughout all of Northampton Roads, and those outages could cascade into Richmond, Northern Virginia, and down into North Carolina. The evidence supports this finding, and no error was assigned to this finding. So then that gets us to the route, and I'm doing my best not to repeat, it was part of my answer to your question, but the commission found that when the route reaches shore, reaches that BASF, and the commission approved variation one. So there, when you look at variation one, there are just two questions. Did the commission comply with the statute? And is there evidence supporting the commission's finding? Some would take these in the opposite way that the questions were posed. The statute requires the commission to find that the route reasonably minimizes adverse impacts. The commission explicitly made that finding more than once, and we cited in our brief. The statute also requires the commission to consider the impact on economic development. The commission explicitly considered the impact of economic development on the BASF property, as well as 4.1, the Colonial Pennon property that 4.1 would go through. Stated considered the impact on both of those companies. So the commission explicitly complied with the requirements of the statute. And then the second, is there evidence to support that finding? I've listed to you the pages in the brief that where the commission went through in its order. The commission explained, in our brief gives the sites, the commission explained the evidence that it was relying upon, some of those items that I mentioned to you, Your Honor, the evidence that it was relying upon to make the finding that variation one reasonably minimizes adverse impact. The commission didn't just approve variation one once the route that needed the EDA easement fell through. Mr. Quinn was correct. The hearing examiner recommended to the commission approve them both at the same time, approve variation four, and then if the EDA easement doesn't come through, then just have an order that automatically then approves variation one. So you can be done with it in one fell swoop. The commission in its order, the November order, said, yes, we see the recommendation. We have testimony, this is in the order, we have testimony on the record that says the easement will be provided. We don't see the need at this time, and the commission used the term, at this time, to approve variation one. Well, when the evidence became clear on remand that the easement would not be provided, then this time became now, and the commission did a separate, in the February and the April orders, a separate evaluation of Variation 1 and found that it met the statute. And taking Justice Lemon's suggestion. There are no further questions. I now yield to Dominion.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Joe Reed from McGuire Woods on behalf of the Appalachian Virginia Electric and Power Company. Your Honors, if I could, I'd like to turn first to the issue that was raised by Justice McClanahan, and that is the evidence in support of the Commission's approval of Variation 1. And I think it's important for the Court to recognize that there are two issues that were raised by BASF in this appeal, both of which concern the impact of Variation 1 as approved by the Commission on its property along the James River. The first of those issues is the environmental impact of going through Area 4C on the property. The second of those issues is the impact on the development potential of BASF's property, which was at issue in the Commission proceeding below. And if I could take the last one first, Your Honor, there was considerable evidence presented before the Commission on the question of the impact on the development potential of this property of Variation 1. First of all, the Commission heard what are essentially conflicting claims from BASF that this property is ripe for high-end mixed-use development, while at the same time it is an active environmental remediation site and that the transmission line threatens that environmental remediation. The Commission also heard evidence that BASF has received only 9 proposals to purchase or develop the property over more than 10 years. Many of those were for industrial uses, and none has reached the state of being a binding agreement. The Commission heard evidence that remediation efforts at the property will require the property to be monitored for long periods of time, and that, in fact, large portions of it will never be conveyed to a potential purchaser. The Commission heard evidence from Dominion Virginia Power that the presence of the line on Variation 1 would not destroy the development potential of the property, and that many major mixed-use properties have been successfully developed along transmission lines similar to this one. The Commission heard evidence about the potentially adverse environmental and/or economic issues and impacts associated with BASF's preferred alternative, which is Variation 4.1. The Commission heard evidence that Variation 4.1 would be located nearly a mile closer to historical resources, including Carter's Grove, that Variation 4.1 would run directly between two parcels owned by another entity, Colonial Penniman, which, unlike BASF, still has active commercial operations. The Commission also heard evidence that environmental remediation efforts are continuing on Colonial Penniman's property. And finally, as Mr. Dudley referred to, the Commission heard evidence that Variation 4.1 presented significant risk for DVP's ability to construct the line and have it in service in time to meet the critical need identified by the SEC, particularly after the James City County Economic Development Authority did not negotiate in good faith over a right-of-way agreement that would have allowed construction of the line on Variation 4. So, Your Honors, it is perhaps no surprise that an individual landowner might object to plans for a transmission line running through its property. However, at the end of the day, this is a factual dispute. The Commission stated very clearly that it considered all record evidence relevant to economic development considerations, including evidence regarding, among other things, BASF's and Colonial Pettiman's properties in reaching its decision to approve Variation 1. In addition, it repeatedly found that it had considered all evidence and determined that Variation 1 reasonably minimized adverse impacts to the environment, scenic assets, and historic districts of the Commonwealth. This Court has said many times as to such factual disputes that it will not substitute its judgment for the Commission's judgment in such matters. That's the issue, the evidence, Your Honor, with respect to the economic development or the marked development potential of BASF's property. So let me address briefly as well the environmental impact. And I do want to comment further in that respect on the comments that Mr. Quinnen made about the agreement that has been reached between Dominion Virginia Power and BASF to avoid Area 4.2. If the Court considers BASF's briefing in this matter, it will see that the lead argument, the foremost argument on adverse impact, is in fact the potential impact on this quadrant of the property, 4C, which is under active government supervised remediation efforts, site of a former wastewater treatment facility. BASF alleges that Variation 1 cuts through Area 4C, which contains a cap landfill, a biobarrier trench, and something called a phytoremediation plot. BASF claims that Dominion proposes to run its line directly through Area 4C, that Dominion could not have selected a more damaging route because it proceeds into Area 4C, and that, Your Honors, the reason that the Commission decision most clearly fails to meet the requirements of 56-46.1 is that it targets Area 4C and hits it like a bullseye. That is BASF's claim on appeal here. And Justice Lemons, you made the comment that the agreement that has been reached does not affect the issues that this Court has to decide on appeal. It is true that BASF has not dismissed this aspect of its appeal at this point. But it is also true that there is an agreement between Dominion and BASF. It has not been reduced to a contract, as Mr. Quinnen said, but Dominion has, in fact, accepted, proposed a modification of the route which would completely avoid Area 4C. BASF has acknowledged that the modified route will completely avoid Area 4C. Dominion, in its permitting process, and the significant remaining permitting hurdle here is with the Army Corps of Engineers, Dominion has formally proposed in the Corps of Engineers permitting process this modification to avoid Area 4C. Dominion does not intend to build the line at this point through Area 4C. It is pursuing a permit to construct the line with the modification that would avoid Area 4C. Consistent.
But the cases before us has the line going through 4C.
What
would you say to us as to how we're supposed to deal with this agreement that's not in writing, that hasn't been approved by the Commission or the staff?
Well, Your Honor, Justice Lemons, I think that may be a question for BASF as to whether or not this is still a live issue on appeal, given where things stand between the company and BASF and in the permitting process. I agree with you that on the briefing that has been submitted, it is still a live issue for the Court.
All right.
Counsel, I asked your opposing counsel whether that agreement would impact assignment of error 1B, and his response was no, it would actually impact 2B. Do you concur with that, or do you believe that that also has some impact?
Justice Mims, I believe it impacts all three of the assignments of error. The only other thing that I was going to say about the environmental issue is that the efforts to avoid Area 4C were consistent with the Commission's direction in its order amending certificates encouraging Dominion to work with BASF to try to resolve this issue. I would also agree with Mr. Quinnen that the company's position is that this is a modification of the route which would not necessarily require the Commission to formally reopen this proceeding or formally consider the modification. I agree that it could be handled potentially administratively as a map adjustment. There is precedent from the Commission in cases such as this one where the impact of an adjustment to the line's route affects only one landowner, and there is precedent from the Commission where the modification is as slight as it is in this case in terms of additional distance that the line would traverse, that those types of modifications can be approved administratively, particularly in this case where the Commission specifically encouraged the parties to get together and try to reach a resolution, which they have.
I have a question on Assignment of Error 1B. BASF takes the position, as I understand it, that this is an issue of law as opposed to an issue of fact, because they indicate that essentially the Commission allowed the issue of need to trump the environmental impact. And it seems to me BASF reads the statute to say that certainly as a condition of approval, both the line is needed and the route has to reasonably minimize adverse environmental impacts. But at the end of the day, they say the error of law was that the Commission allowed one to trump the other. Can you address that?
We would disagree with that, Your Honor, because I think what happened in this case is that the Commission considered the evidence and reached an independent determination on the need of the line pursuant to 56-46.1A, and an independent determination that the variation 1, which it was approving, reasonably minimized impacts to the environment, historic districts, and scenic assets of the Commonwealth pursuant to 56-46.1B. The Commission as well acts in these cases pursuant to its authority under Code Section 56-265.2, where it must determine that the line is required by the public convenience and necessity before it approves certification of the lines. And there's no evidence or suggestion, contrary to what BASF is claiming on appeal, that the Commission conflated those obligations. At the end of the day, as I've said before, this is purely a factual dispute. Should the line run through essentially the middle of BASF's property under Variation 1, or should it run through a different route which BASF prefers on the boundary of the northern boundary of its property? The Commission heard the evidence as to the gives and takes of both of those alternatives as to environmental impact, and overall considering the need for the line, the reliability needs that are looming that require the line to be built, and in its judgment, in its professional judgment, determined that Variation 1 was the preferred alternative. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Rebuttal?
I think most of the issues I addressed in my opening statement, but there were a few that I would like to respond to, a couple small and some larger. One of the small ones I'll go ahead and hit right away is Counsel for Commission and Dominion referred to the fact that 4.1, Route 4.1, which is the one now that is in evidence that would not require an easement from the EDA, the one that BASF thinks should have been approved, the only one that would meet the statutory standard, that a problem with that was that it crosses property owned by Colonial Penniman. Colonial Penniman is not party to this case. Every route for this transmission line crosses numerous pieces of property owned by different private property owners. The mere fact that that 4.1 would touch upon, and if you look at the map of 4.1, it actually goes on a road between two different parcels owned by Colonial Penniman, just barely skirting the sides of them. Again, the Colonial Penniman property is in between. It's encased by the BASF property. It's an island in the middle of the BASF property. In between Variation 1 and Variation 4, Colonial Penniman clearly had notice that the transmission line in this case could have been placed on its property, and if it wanted to, it could have and should have intervened. On the issue of the development of the property, Council for Dominion referred to the fact that there's ongoing remediation and argued that that was inconsistent with Dominion's, with BASF's position that it has plans for mixed-use resort development. In fact, the reason for the remediation, the reason why tens of million dollars have been spent on this property, was to prepare the property for mixed-use resort development. They're not inconsistent at all. The fact that the remediation has been going on is one reason why, again, Council for Dominion argued that there have only been 9 offers made so far to develop the property. 9 offers made during the early stages of remediation. The remediation had to be moved farther along and has to be put into its final stage before the property is going to be developed. That's necessarily the case. That doesn't mean that it's unlikely to happen. In fact, the proof in this case is that that is the highest and best use for this property and that it is likely to happen. So the fact that the property is being remediated is not at all inconsistent. Council also referred to the fact that there are certain pieces of the property that would never be sold by BASF or, you know, or have any construction on them in the course of this mixed-use development. Again, that's not inconsistent at all because any mixed-use development would have to preserve a significant amount of green space. It only makes sense to use the areas like Area 4C for green space. And the testimony in this case is that one of the remediation measures on Area 4C was going to be the planting of this phytoremediation. It's going to start out with these hybrid poplar trees but turn into natural trees that record reflects this, that would be used as natural habitat for migratory fowl. That is going to be a landing site where as they move up and down the East Coast. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful place for mixed-use resort development right on the James River. So not inconsistent at all. I only have a minute left. The other issue I wanted to address is the mitigation is the commission only looked at Variation 1 and Variation 4. What the commission should have done is looked at the entire piece of property. Once it became clear that Variation 4 was unavailable because they couldn't get the easement, the commission should have looked, is there another option? There actually was one, Variation 4.1, which it dismissed for reasons unrelated to impact on it and adverse impacts. But even if that wasn't there, what it should have done is look for other options. And the fact that such another option was so obvious and now has been agreed to in the court proceeding by taking Variation 1 and scooching around Area 4.C is just demonstrates that the commission didn't do what it should have done. I think my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Call the next case.